Well, good morning again. It's good to be here with you guys, opening up the Word of God today. Today is going to be particularly challenging because the barbecue smell is kind of like distracting me a little bit. So, oh my goodness. I was praying, Lord, please have mercy. I'm so glad and so happy that I have the opportunity to open up the Word of God with you guys today and for you guys today. Today, I have the privilege of talking about the practical life of love, the practical life of love. When Pastor Tim sent out the schedule for this at the beginning of the summer, including the spots and availability and the topics for this series, I saw the topic and caught my attention because I like practical things. I really do. And I mean, we like practical things, don't we? We like when people come to us and say like, hey, you do this and you will get these results. And you do this and that's nice. That's part of the way my brain works. But however, when I was studying the text assigned to this topic, I found a plethora of things that we could possibly talk about today in sermon. So it was hard for me to kind of like narrow down something practical, something specific. And I pray and I study a lot and put all the work. And I prayed and asked the Lord for His grace. And after meditating on these verses, by God's grace, I found some good fruits. And that's what I want to share with you today. I remember one of my professors in seminary, he was telling us, like, man, you need to remember that the art of studying the Bible is like to be a hungry, thirsty servant. That by the glory of God and by the grace of the Holy Spirit, you have found an inexhaustible banquet. So now, as the servants, you go, you take those fruits, and then you bring them to other people, other thirsty and hungry people. So I hope that you are thirsty and hungry for the riches of the Word of God today, because you will find yourself familiar with topics that this passage today has, like love and service and the fruit of the Spirit. But trust me, as I said before, the Word of God is an inexhaustible banquet that if you come thirsty and hungry, we will not be disappointed, and you will be gladly satisfied. So please, open your Bibles to the letters of Galatians. To the letters of Galatians. Open your Bibles with me to the letters of Galatians. So first, I think context will serve us well here. Galatians is a powerful letter that reveals the sovereignty of and the power of God in protecting and caring for His church. In this letter, Paul addresses important matters such as the doctrine of salvation and the justification by faith, as well as key issues of the Christian life, like faith and law, the law of God and freedom and life in the Spirit. And we see, for instance, in chapter 1, things about concerning the false teaching, and chapter 2 and 3, justification by faith alone, chapter 4, 3 and 4, the freedom that believers have in Christ, and chapter 5 and 6, the way of living in that freedom. Theologians have agreed in saying that Galatians has been foundational for many forms of Christian doctrine and practice. So this beautiful letter not only addresses freedom from the works of the law, but also freedom that we have in the Holy Spirit to live our life out of that freedom and in the way that is pleasing to God. Also, we are going to see here that the Apostle Paul does not just take for granted the indwelling presence of the Spirit. He also appeals to action. Sometimes it is easy to take for granted the indwelling works or the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. And unfortunately, we forget that in God's perfect sovereign plan, there are also practical steps that we need to take as part of our responsibility as believers in our sanctification process. So that's what I found in these verses for today. Last Sunday, Dave McAllister faithfully presented to us the traits of love. But today, we're going to see some practical things. And this is not an exhaustive list. The Bible is full of many practical things we can do and we can follow. But this is a comprehensive list. Let's say that this is the foundation and the cornerstone of the things that we need to do to live out of that biblical love. So please, look with me at chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. Chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. This is what the Bible says. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. This is the living word of the living God. Let's pray with me, please. Our Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you please open up our hearts and our minds to understand, to put in practice the truths of your word. Lord, please be glorified with my time of study and my preparation, but also help me, Lord, to speak things that are not here if it's necessary. May you please be glorified and use me, Lord, as an instrument in your powerful hands through the power of your Spirit. And help us to live out of those standards that you are telling us. Help us to be humble and ready and thirsty and hungry for your word. We love you and we pray in your mighty name. Amen. So in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13, 26, we will see three practical ways to build this foundation, to put a biblical love into action in our life so that we will be able to love in a God-honoring way. Three practical ways, three foundations. Remember, I said to you, these verses, there's a lot here to packed in these verses, but I'm going to do my best just to summarize three practical ways. So please don't get mad at me if I don't touch some verses, please, because we will take us like maybe a whole series to go verse by verse. So let's see what the Lord is going to do with us here. So three different ways. The first one, serve one another, chapters 13 to 15. The second one, walk by the Spirit, chapters 16 to 23. And the third one, obey your Savior, chapters 20, verses 24 to 26. Serve one another. Let's see with me, verse 13. Paul says, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Two things I want to point to you out to you here, a warning and a solution. First, the warning. I think we easily get that. Don't let the freedom you have in the Lord make you think that this is to gratify your own desires or your selfish or your fleshly desires. In other words, don't let the sinful desires of the flesh flourish. And this is a sad yet reality, clear reality that we see through the scriptures. We are still fighting against sin, are we? We are. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, if we say that we have not sinned, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. That's the total depravity of our nature. That's a reality that we see through the scriptures. So here, the Apostle Paul is giving us this warning. But graciously, with the warning comes the way to protect us against that danger. He says, but through love, serve one another. I want to shed light on something, some details here. I want to make evident to you some nuances that might not be easy to see. For instance, when Paul says, but through love. Here the Bible uses a very strong contrast. The Greek language has two different conjunctions to express contrast. And Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, used the strongest one. Therefore, what Paul is saying here is not only, what Paul is conveying is not something that you are, like, maybe you need to consider. No. What Paul is saying, do not turn your freedom in an odd opportunity for the flesh. That's the warning. On the other hand, I'm strongly asking you, through love, serve one another. It is like two completely opposite ways. Just to give you guys an example, when an idea of that is like when my family and I, we drove from California to Mount Vernon, we got the goal, go to Mount Vernon, Washington. And somewhere in the road, on the trip, we had to take the decision which road to take. We couldn't take, like, you know, like, I don't know, like New Mexico or Colorado and pretending that we were going to get to Mount Vernon, Washington. That's exactly what the Bible is telling us here. Paul is saying there are two opposite roads, the gratification of the flesh or the love for one another. There is no way to faithfully love and serve one another if we still have a little tiny, teeny desire to gratify all our own personal desires. And more important is what goes hand in hand with this. The second thing that the text shows us is how Paul describes the word serve, or the verb to serve. Interestingly, Paul didn't use the Greek word diakonos, which in the Bible translates as servant, or in our English language translates as deacon. Instead, Paul uses the word that comes from the root doulos. Maybe you guys are familiar with that root doulos, which in many parts of the scripture translates as slave. So what Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is asking the Galatians, and consequently every single of us as Christians, is this: use the freedom that Christ has given you, not as an opportunity for your personal desires, but through love, having an attitude of being enslaved to one another, serve one another. Is that not beautiful, but at the same time hard? It sounds really hard, isn't it? We need to fight against this flesh. But it is not impossible. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit. And as believers, we have the greatest example of that kind of love and attitude, who is our Lord himself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 8 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and that's the same word, doulos, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He is our greatest example. Our Lord set the pattern for us. While we were enemies, he died for us. The perfect and holy King of the universe died and paid the debt for our sins while we were still his enemies. He called us to himself even when we were running away from him. He gave us life when we were dead. At our lowest point, the creator of the universe, with the attitude of a bondservant, humbled himself, taking on a human body, so that through his body and through his precious blood, he could redeem us and cover us with his righteousness. That is the greatest demonstration of love and service that anyone could ever experience. And now, as believers, we are called to follow him. We are called to follow his pattern, this pattern of love and service, because now our lives belong to him. He is our master. So, beloved Christian, we have been crucified with Christ. Have we? If we live, we live for him. He has bought our life with his precious blood. Through his blood, he has given us the freedom to live for his glory and for the good of his people. When life is challenging, when we need to remember that he has paid the greatest price. And now in him, we must strive to glorify him in everything we do, even when it feels impossible. Even when loving and serving one another feels so challenging. So one day when he comes back or calls us home, we will hear from his mouth the words, "Well done, good and faithful slave." As Paul said a couple verses before in the same letter, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." It is beautiful. We have him. He is our greatest example. And now Paul also presents to us the danger of not living up to that standard. Now, if as Christians we don't love to this standard, we are in a great danger of being tempted to gratify the desires of the flesh. And the consequences are sad and very ugly. Please, see with me verse 15. The apostle says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." Paul uses an ancient, idiomatic, sarcastic expression here. Bite and devour one another. This picture, the ugliness of the scene or the circumstances. It's like today, me telling you, you're fighting like cats and dogs. And watch out that you are going to kill each other or you're going to destroy yourself. Or maybe parents, you can relate to me with that when your kids are, "Stop fighting like cats and dogs." That's what Paul is telling us here. This is sadly, and it's an ugly, nasty, disturbing danger we are exposed to day by day. As long as we are still in this body, in this flesh, we are going to be tempted. And therefore, we ought to be mindful and watchful to fight against this danger. So not only in the context of the church, but also in our families, with our friends, with the people we are related to. So, beloved, my question today to you and to me, as I said before, I'm a servant, thirsty, hungry servant who comes to the Word of God to find the riches of God. My question is, are we loving and serving one another with this slave's attitude? As the Bible challenges us, are we regarding one another as more important as ourselves than ourselves? Husbands, are you loving your wife in this way? Regarding them as more important than you? Wife, are you doing the same to your husband or with your husband? This passage challenges us today to do it with a slave attitude. The attitude that is an example from our Lord and Savior. That is the biblical way to, through love, serve one another. I pray and I hope that this passage, this verse, is so many things in one single verse. But I hope those truths will help us to strive and to live out of that standard. So now, probably you're asking, okay, I understand, but sometimes it's not easy, it's hard. How, Juan? How can I do this? How can I have the energy and the means and the courage to do something like this? I'm glad you asked, because the Bible gives us the second practical way. Walk by the Spirit. Please look with me at verse 16. The Bible says, but I say, this is Paul speaking, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So what is the antidote to fight against this heaviness and this feeling of not being able to love in that way? The antidote is that we must walk by the Spirit. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, uses this phrase, but I say. In the Bible, this is a Pauline formula to present an emphatic point. It's like Paul is telling us, I know that you have this question, so pay attention to what I'm going to say. This is the solution. The solution is walk by the Spirit. You must walk by the Spirit. This is not a suggestion. This is a mandate. Paul uses an imperative verb here. You must do this. So, in other words, don't even consider that you will be able to love and serve as the Lord has given us the example if we are not walking by the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, we must examine the way that we are walking. And we know that walking, in the sense of the Bible, in these verses, doesn't refer to the way that you and I move our bodies, but refers to the way that you and I set our minds and our hearts day by day. This walking refers to behavior, to a manner of living. To put it in simple words, one author said, walking by the Spirit requires an active, step-by-step, daily effort to live the Christian life by means of the presence and enabling power of the Holy Spirit. So we are called to action. Here we see the powerful truth that the Bible presents us in many pages of the Scriptures. The power and sovereignty of God, the Holy Spirit, working through human responsibility. How that works is hard to tell. I don't know. But I know it's real. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, but we need to do something, put an action. He is sovereign, and he governs, and he rules everything. But at the same time, we need to be responsible the way we live. And in verse 17, Paul states the main reason why we must walk by the Spirit. I want to point you out something important here. The verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out." In our English language, we don't like double negation. It's kind of like, we are right. I'm saying this, English is my second language. I learned that in my school. We don't like that. But the Greek language, double negation means something very emphatic, something that is will not for sure, will give you the certainty that this one happened. And that's what Paul says in verse 16 when he says, and you will not carry out. That's double negation in the Greek language. So if we are walking by the Spirit, definitely we will not give opportunity to the flesh to produce the works of the flesh. So in verse 17, Paul states the main reason why. He says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So why we must walk by the Holy Spirit? The answer, if we are not walking by the Spirit, we are walking by the flesh. There is no middle ground. It is one or the other, and they are completely opposite. The Spirit fights against the flesh, that is, the worldly desires. And the worldly desires, at the same time, fight against what is pleasing to God. And because we are in this fallen world and in this body, this battle will remain. As long as we remain in this body, we will never outgrow the spiritual conflict that is presented to us here. That's why we ought to be so vigilant and constantly examine our own hearts. As the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. So now we understand that. We know it is important. We know we ought to walk in the Spirit. How can we test ourselves? What is the test to know if we are walking by the Spirit? So that's the formula Paul presents to us in verses 18 to 23. Look with me, please. Verses 18 to 23. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. On the other hand, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The Holy Spirit gives us a clear way to test ourselves, to see whether we are living under the influence of the world or the works of the flesh, or under the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is the way to identify that? How can we pass and run this test to ourselves? The key is in verse 21. Look with me, please, at the end of verse 21. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The key word here is practice. This is a very interesting word in the Greek language because it's a present active participle. And a participle is something that defines a person, something that defines the attitude and the characteristics of that person. So in other words, those who in their being are characterized by living in such a way through the deeds of the flesh. Those are the ones who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are we paying attention with what the Bible is telling us? Are we paying attention the way we live daily? What is in our hearts daily? What is the way that we daily live? The way that we used to do things daily? What is in our hearts that is moving us and helping us and producing in us that way of life or the way of living? Now, if we are in Christ, we need to do something, and that's different. If we are in Christ, we are walking by the Spirit, and we are walking by the Spirit. That's the question, I'm sorry. If we are in Christ, and if we are walking by the Spirit, we have the power to overcome the deeds of the flesh. So we do what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24. It says, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So we can use what Ephesians is telling us, and this test that our text today is telling us, that Galatians is telling us, the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we can use these two texts and put in practice. This text in Ephesians is telling us that those who walk by the Spirit practice these actions daily. Lay aside, be renewed in your mind, and put on the new self. So it's not only because, I mean, maybe somebody could think, you know, like, I have done some of those works of this of the flesh. How can I know if I am now walking by the Spirit? The answer is, are you practicing still those works of the flesh? Or are you putting in practice, laying aside that sin, be renewed in your mind daily through the scriptures, and put on the new self? Action, moving, doing something that is glorifying to God. That is the key. The key to answer to that test that this text is telling us or presenting to us today is the way that we live day by day. We are called to action. As I said at the beginning, Paul does not take for granted the indwelling presence of the Spirit in our life. He also appeals to action. And in our text today, we see that we need to be mindful of our own personal walk. We need to run this test, not on others, but primarily in our own life. If you read the text uses like 5 or 7 times these verses, the verses 16 to the end, like 5 or 7 or 8 times, the second personal pronoun, you. You. This is you and me, ourselves, in our own hearts. We run this test to our own life. Are we practicing the works of the flesh? Or are we walking daily in the Spirit? Also, this test helps us to be on alert. We deceive ourselves and put ourselves in a great danger when we don't recognize that our flesh has an immense propensity and is gravitationally attracted to practicing the things that God hates. Just to give you an illustration, it's a very silly illustration, but it's like me and when my wife bakes this delicious banana bread. And she just put that banana bread on a countertop, you know, like, and she lies the banana bread on a countertop. It's just hard for me. I'm my body is gravitationally attracted to that banana bread. I just want to eat it. It's impossible. It will be very naive of me saying, like, oh, the banana bread is there. I'm so strong. I will not eat it. No. I mean, it's impossible. She is a really good baker. She's awesome. So, beloved, we need to test ourselves daily. This is just a silly, very silly example to see that we cannot be so naive to think that the flesh will not do everything in its power to make us stumble. We need to be sure that we are walking by the Spirit and that there are no any lingering, open, exposed temptations on the countertop of our hearts. We must get rid of those temptations. We cannot be so naive to think that we can fight the flesh without the Spirit and being exposing and also exposing ourselves to the temptations and the sins and the things of the world. We need to be careful, dear brothers and sisters. And now the question is, how this affect the way I love others? How can connect this test in my own heart and the ways I love others? Well, I want you to think about when you get in a plane. You know, the flight attendant is giving all the instructions, and in some point the flight attendant says, okay, if something happens, the masks are going to go down. What's the first thing the flight attendant says about the masks? You put yourself on first, and then you help others. You test your own heart first, so then you can love others. That's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is not the same as the indwelling presence of the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit is to be controlled in all we do by the power of the Spirit and to test ourselves daily to get rid of those temptations and sins that are in our hearts. That's what we need to do, and that is to walk by the Spirit. So then, to sum up so far to this point, two practical ways that we can use and we can implement in our hearts, in our life, to love and to live a life of love are serve one another in love and test yourself daily. Check your own heart and my own heart. Remember, when I am addressing you guys, I spend a whole week studying, crying, and praying and asking the Lord to help me to live out all these truths. I'm a beggar. I'm serving. I'm hungry for the Word of God because I need this every day in my own life. And that's my encouragement to you today. So, and to conclude this idea, the Apostle Paul gives us the third practical foundation or the third practical way how to build that foundation. And is obey your Savior. Obey your Savior. Look with me at verse 24. The Bible says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So in Christ, we have the power to overcome sin because we belong to Him. We are not a slave to our flesh anymore. Just to give you an illustration, very quick illustration. One day we were talking about Christology and the scene and in class with my professors and my fellow seminary students. And the professor gave us a really good illustration on what is to live in this world, but being under Christ and living with Christ and being having the power to overcome sin because of Christ. He said, imagine that before Christ, you are in a cage. Your hands are tied and your feet are tied and everything is tied that you cannot even move. That's to be without Christ. But now with Christ, we are still in the same cage, But the door is open, our hands are free, our feet are free, and we can move. That is to live in Christ. It's not that we are not under the pressure of this world. It is that now in Him we have the freedom to take decisions and to act and to live and to obey Him. Before Christ, we were apathic. We were enemies of God. We didn't want to follow Him. But now in Christ, we want to pursue Him and to do everything in our power to live out of those standards that He is calling us to live. That is the picture of living with Christ, of being free of sin. Paul tells us that believers must remember that in Christ, our flesh is crucified. So we ought to put it to death, sinful actions, cravings, and desires. We have the freedom to do that. As the Bible says, the Lord says in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If we want to live a life of love that is God-honoring and Spirit-filled, we ought to take up our cross daily and follow Him. The cage is open. Our hands are free. Our feet are free. We can do this. We can do this because we have the Holy Spirit. And then look at me in verse 25. He says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And here, another pearl, P-E-A-R-L, pearl, that found in this rich text. Paul is not using the same word walk that he used in verse 16. He uses another word that refers to marching in accordance to what the Spirit is telling you. This verb has the connotation of marching in a military formation, and a military formation. So to march with the Spirit is to be controlled to what the Spirit says. In other words, when you read your Bible and you are confronted by the Holy Spirit with the truths of the Bible, you must obey. You must march in accordance with what the Bible says. Let the Holy Spirit, through the pages of the Scripture, control your life. If the Bible says, guard your heart, protect your mind, keep your tongue, keep your eyes pure, kill your sin, we must do it. March in accordance with what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. That's what the text is telling us here in verses 24 to 26. And take every action necessary to continue marching day by day, to continue keeping in a step. Some of your translations, maybe the ESV translation, says keeping in a step. That's the meaning of that word. Keeping in a step is marching like you are in a military formation with the Holy Spirit. And He's guiding you. That is what the Bible is telling us. And that is the meaning of denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. Action, action, action. Dear family, if we want to live a practical life of love, if we want to love in a way that is God-honoring, we need to be quick to obey our Lord and take any measure necessary to kill temptations and sin in our life. We cannot love others in a God-honoring way if we don't first love the Lord and pursue Him and obey Him and His word. And if we don't let His words, the pages of this precious book, control our life. We cannot love others if we don't do this. It will feel like a very hard task to love others in a God-honoring way, in a way that He is asking us to do it, if we don't let the pages of the Scriptures permeate and penetrate our hearts. It will feel like twice the work if we try to love others before we first crucify our own flesh. Picture with me trying to climb Mount Everest. Just climbing Mount Everest is a really hard task. And now imagine that you are doing it without oxygen, with a mask, and with a backpack with 100 pounds, rocks. You pick, what do you want to do? What I want to do? Do I want to climb Mount Everest lightly and like free? I need to crucify my flesh daily. May the Lord give us the grace to take up our cross daily and submit our wills and minds to Him, so our hearts will not be heavy and will be ready to put into practice the kind of love that pleases and honors Him. Beloved, come to Christ daily. Come to Christ daily. Don't take it for granted that you have been walking with the Lord for so many years. You need Him daily. Don't try to climb Mount Everest without being light. Don't try to climb Mount Everest with a 100 pounds backpack. No matter how long you have been walking with the Lord, we need Him daily. Let the pages of the scriptures instruct you daily. And then go out and put into practice what He teaches you through His word. If making peace with that family member feels heavy, if that conflict at home feels unbearable, if that relationship with that brother or sister in Christ feels that it's not going anywhere, I hope this message will encourage you to see that the practical steps that you can take are go, love, serve them, prepare your own heart, and come to the pages of the scriptures to find answers and guidance. And if through this process, the Holy Spirit reveals to your own heart that there is any tiny little thing that you can do to make that relationship better, for instance, ask for forgiveness or find grace towards others or seek biblical counseling or kill sin and temptations, please do it. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let the flesh win the battle. Don't let the flesh win the battle. And remember that your Savior is with you and for you to help you carry out the heavy burden of this life. The Bible tells us, and the Lord says, come. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to Him. When it's so hard, come to Him. We must come to Him. Beloved, please take courage and put this into action. Do we want to live a life filled by the Holy Spirit? Do we want to live with joy, peace, and everything that the Holy Spirit produces in our life? I know we want. So we need to take this very seriously and then move and take action. My prayer for us today is that the Lord help us to remember and to put into practice these principles that will build in our life the foundation to love in a God-honoring way. And may the Lord help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to serve one another as the Lord has loved us, to test ourselves daily to be sure that we are walking in the Spirit, and to obey our Master, to take up our cross daily and follow Him. I really want to encourage you to meditate on these truths for 30 seconds. If you want to pray, pray and ask the Lord to help you to live out of this standard, this precious truth. And dear family, just to conclude, I know this process of loving others can be very hard. I know the process of self-examination can be very hard. And I know the obedience sometimes could be very challenging. But that's the gift that we have from the Lord. The precious truth, the precious word of God, the precious living word that challenges us. Sometimes it's say, ouchie. Or maybe, ouchie. But it is not impossible. So let me encourage you with these final words from Hebrews chapter 12. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider your Savior. He paid it all. He gave us freedom. We have the freedom to love in this way. We have the freedom to examine ourselves. And we have the freedom to obey him. Come back to him daily. Friend, if you are here and you don't know this Savior, and you want to live out of this precious fruit of the joy and the peace and all the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces, come to Christ. Repent of your sins and turn your ways to him. And you will find pastures of and fountains of living water. You will find peace for your souls. And family, brothers and sisters, look to your Savior, because he is looking at you at this moment, and he wants this for you. Shall we pray? Our Father, thank you so much for the preciousness that we have received and the gift that we have received from our Lord. Lord, thank you for paying the price. Thank you for paying our debt. It is only because of you that we can live out of this precious truth of the Scripture. Help us, please, Lord. Help us. Help us to walk in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord. It is only through your Holy Spirit that we can do this, Lord. So please help us to set our minds and to fix our eyes only in you. Help us. I pray, and we pray, Lord, with a humble heart. Work in our life, Lord. Make this truth of the Bible a reality in our own hearts. Thank you, Father, for your grace. In your precious name I pray. Amen.